and I will give you rest. Trust me. Come on, put your hands together and bless God. If you would only trust me. Amen. Yahweh, the hour is come that your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For it was Jesus who said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity, any confusion, any distractions. May Jesus be honored and obey when this experience have come to a pause. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, amen. We are transitioning from the season of the suffering, the death, the burial, but thank God, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, whom the Greeks called Jesus. Since we're still in that atmosphere, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we're going to use as the backdrop for talking about the power of the resurrection this morning, or maybe this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, and if it wouldn't bother you to stand on your feet in respect of reading the Word of God, I ask you to stand and pick up your Bibles and or whatever you carry your word on, hold it in your hand and say after me, I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the Word of God, the authority of God, and whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The first passage of scripture I want to call your attention to is the Gospel of John, the second chapter and the 19th verse. That is going to be our collateral passage or our support passage. Then we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, the first gospel, the 27th chapter, and we're going to begin with the 62nd verse through the 66 verses. John chapter 2 and verse number 19. The media people should have it on the screen. If it is on the screen, say, I see it. Of course, you can read from your favorite version of the Bible, John chapter 2 and verse 19. Let's read together. Jesus said, destroy this temple and in what? 3 days I will raise it. Amen. Turn now to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read verses 62 through verses 66. Matthew 27, 62 through 66. If you've seen it on the screen, say, I see it. All right. Begin reading. So they went and made the sepulcher secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher is preaching about this word. The manifested word, the devil's greatest fear. The manifested word, the devil's greatest fear. This is what I want us to talk about this afternoon. The manifested word, or the word becoming a reality. The word spoken becoming the word realized, the word manifested, the word in its tangible presence is the greatest fear that the devil has. All of the gospel writers record this event of our Lord's ministry and the nail, if you will, in the coffin of hell, death, damnation, and the devil. It is Friday evening. The sun wraps himself in the nocturnal blanket of the clouds as he attempts to veil or hide the nakedness and the shame of his creator. The Son, S-O-N, of God, hanging on Rome's cruel cross, on Golgotha's hill to die for my sin and your sin. Sabbath is fast approaching, and because of the prosher, he honors the Sabbath as the signature of his creative authority. John the apostle records in chapter 19 and verse number 30 that he bowed his head and died. Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, is dead. The pause is taken. He is really dead. Joseph of Arimathea, a well-to-do Jewish man, requests of Pilate and his limp, bloodied, and bruised corpse is taken down from the cross. Joseph has a desire to give him a decent burial. And so he wraps him in fine linen and places him in a newly hewn tomb. Oh yes, to be sure, this tomb was not one that Jesus paid for. This is a borrowed tomb because he doesn't plan to keep it too long. Jesus is dead and is buried. And it seems like, Elder Wilson, all is well again in Jerusalem. Oh, yes. The rebellion has been crushed. Pilate does not have to worry about another insurrection come Monday morning. A matter of fact, on Monday, business will be booming on Wall Street in Jerusalem. The unemployment rate would have hit its lowest low. It would have hit its lowest on Monday morning. No more fussing about this Jesus, this rebel rouser, this imposter is dead. And we can go on with our life. Peace and tranquility has come back, and order has been resumed. Or is it really? Maybe if you are a Roman authority, a casual Roman citizen, or just a regular resident of Jerusalem. But if you are the devil, if you are the Pharisees, if you are the priest, if you have anything to do with the Jewish Sanhedrin, then peace and tranquility has not really resumed. Why? Because the death of Jesus is not the devil's greatest fear. What then, preacher, is the devil's greatest fear? His greatest fear, Elder Jones, is the manifestation of the word. Oh, he was there and witness when the word was spoken, let there be. And everything that could become and will ever become rushed to the fore with such intensity to exist. He heard, let there be planetary heavens, and the heavens were manifested. He heard, let there be earth, and the earth was manifested. He heard, let there be cattle and plants and trees. Let the waters be separated from the waters. I'm talking about the spoken word. He heard, let living things come to life, and they were manifested. Oh yes, the devil is not settled because Jesus lies in a borrowed tomb. Pilate is at ease. Rome is going about business as usual, but the kingdom of hell is on edge. Why are they so afraid? What is the panic? And why is hell on edge? Because the word who spoke, let the limb walk, and limb people became manifested into walking people. The word which spoke, let the blind see, and blind people became manifested into sighted people. The word we spoke, let the dead come out of the grave. Lazarus and a dead corpse after 4 days was manifested into a living being. This word has spoken. Tear down, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I raise it back up. The devil heard the words recorded in Matthew chapter 17. And verse number 40, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. The word that said, if you destroy this body, I can raise it back up. The word that said, no man takes my life. I laid it down by myself, and I have the power to pick it up again. The devil heard that word, and because he knows that the spoken word is always a manifested word, because God is not man that he should lie, or the sons of man that he should repent. Whatever God says is yes and amen. The devil is shaking in his boots because there is a word. And the word says, on the third day, I'll rise again. And so why the disciples are hiding for fear of Rome and Pilate, because what he did to their master, to their rabbi, he might think about doing it to them. My brothers and sisters, the devil was at work. I just want to pause parenthetically and say that it is a shame that why the church is hiding and forgetting the word that God spoke. speaks into the life of the church, the spoken word that can become and will become the manifested word. The devil is busy at work because he believes the word more than the church does. And so he calls the priests and the Pharisees, and he sends them to Pilate to convene a council with him. He sends them to appeal to Pilate's authority. Matthew records in chapter 27 in verse 63, when they get to this meeting, and when, Elder Landry, do they get to this meeting? The Bible says the day after the preparation. Now watch this. These are Jewish priests. These are Jewish Pharisees. But because they are so threatened by the manifestation of the word, they break Sabbath. They ignored the regulations of Sabbath to get to Pilate, to tell Pilate, this deceiver, verse 63, while he yet lives, said, in 3 days, I'll get up. And so now they have two plans. How many plans, everybody? They got plan A and plan B. Plan A is Pilate secured the tomb so that he doesn't wake up. And if he wakes up, he doesn't get out. Plan B is we're going to spin the narrative ahead of time. Just in case he gets out, we can already have our narrative out before the pages are read. So they said, we don't want, oh bless his name, his disciples to steal the body and then have a narrative that he is risen.
Sounds like the Mueller report to me. I don't know.
They're setting screen. Those of you that play basketball, you know what I'm talking about. Your buddy is coming with the ball, so you set a screen. You interfere with the blocker because you know that the ball has to get to the goal. So to say, we want Pilate to lock the tomb down. But just in case, since every time he spoke a word, the word was manifested. Every time he said something, it came to pass. Just in case that happens, we have already spun the narrative in our favor. So they go to Pilate, and they say, Pilate, this deceiver said that after 3 days, he will be risen from the grave. And we know that he will not. But we're afraid that his followers, his disciples, may sneak up there and remove the body. And so we're asking you, Pilate, to seal the tomb. We're asking you to put guards at the tomb. Pilate, we're not asking you to do it for a week. Please bear with us, sir. We're not asking, Sister Latson, for 4 days. All we want is 3 days. All we need is till sunset, Sunday evening. If we can keep him in there till sunset, Sunday evening, pilot, you are our man. Monday will be a different day in Jerusalem. We will display his body and we will show the world that he was an imposter, that he was a liar, that he is not the Messiah, but in case his disciples steal the body and say that he is risen, in the words of Donald Trump, that will be fake news. But even though it is fake news, somebody will believe it. And if somebody believes it, it will set up a chain reaction. Not only will they believe it, but they will tell somebody else, who will tell somebody else. And this Jesus being the Messiah thing will go out like wildfire, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. And so Pilate, sir, all we need for you to do is to protect our interests. Now, my brothers and sisters, the Bible says in verse 66 that Pilate does three things. And these three things, my friends, are the trinity of the devil's maniacal plan against Jesus and against his followers. You know, the devil is always trying to imitate God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So there is a trinity, a triune God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? The devil has his trinity. He has the stone, he has the seal, and he has the soldiers. What is the stone? The stone represents strength. It represents oppression. Have you ever heard the word, you are stuck between a rock? Okay, help me preach my little sermon. Because stone represents strength. That's why the Bible says that Yeshua, Jesus, is a rock of our salvation. And that one day this rock will come and it will smash up everything that do not fall on it. And so the first thing the devil uses is the stone. Everybody said the stone. He makes sure that the grave is locked down, that no one can go in and nothing can come out. The second thing that the devil uses as a part of his trinity is the seal. Everybody said the seal. The seal represents authority. Now, you got to understand that strength is different from authority. See, every now and again when I used to drive, I've seen police officers that I know I can beat down. But they may not have strength, but they got authority. They got a blue suit. They're in a blue car with a blue light.
and they got a black gun. I wish somebody was listening to me. And that authority is vested in them by the city of Baton Rouge and the parish of East Baton Rouge. And that authority says, when you see that light, I don't care if you are rushing to go to work, rushing to get to the bathroom, rushing to go to your child's recital or graduate. If you see that light, you better pull over and stop, because on the authority given to us. And so Pilate places not just a stone strength, but he places the seal authority. The seal was the governor's signature ring back in those days. And it was placed on that stone to say, nobody breaks this seal. This is Roman authority. Pilate placed the seal because Roman authority was to make sure that Jesus did not come out of the grave. The seal of authority was to make sure that nobody went around talking about Jesus was risen. The seal of authority was supposed to make sure that there was no other emperor, no other king but Caesar, and Pilate was his governor. And so he places a seal of authority. But not only do you need strength and you need authority, but you need enforcement of that authority. And enforcement is usually done through fear. Okay, come with me. Have you ever got in your car? You're not even speeding. You know, you're listening to music, you're driving the speed limit, you're just doing fine. And then you see the police. And all of a sudden your blood pressure goes up. You slam on the brakes. You're not doing it because you respect the police. You're doing it because you're scared. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be scared. See, the soldiers were intended to put fear in anyone who had the nerve to say they will break that seal and remove the stone. And don't you know the devil always uses fear, my brothers and sisters, to enforce his authority on us. And so his trinity of the stone, the seal, and the soldiers are placed at the tomb. Nobody can go in. Nobody can come out. We'll wait until Sunday evening. And this Jesus business, this Messiah thing, all of this talking about who he is and whose son he is, we will put an end to this come Sunday. Because the stone, the seal, and the soldiers will keep this body locked down. But how many of you know that Jesus was not concerned about the stone, about the seal, and about the soldiers? So why the devil is scrimmaging and fighting and working to protect the tomb, Jesus is sleeping in the tomb. The Bible says he slept all night Friday, all day Sabbath, all night Saturday. Because Jesus is not worried about escaping Oh no, my brothers and sisters, he doesn't plan Evelandra to sneak out. He doesn't have a plan to be stolen by some disciples. No, no, no. When Jesus comes out, he's going to come out with such authority that 2019 years later, the world around will still be talking about the fact that heroes. And so Sunday, early Sunday morning, can I use my spiritual imagination? Can you just follow me? This is not written in scripture, but I'm a black man and we sometimes just dream things up. If you can just help follow me through with this, it's early Sunday morning. And the heavenly hosts, the angels, all of the created beings in heaven, they are now just anxiously anticipating that the word become manifested. They're moving up and down throughout the streets of heaven. They cannot contain themselves. Their master, their king, had been gone for 33 long years. He shrouded himself in humanity. He did all of the things he said he would, and they couldn't understand how the creator can die and how the water can become thirsty and how the strength can become weak. How is he going to show up now? And so the Father, I told you, follow me, my sanctified imagination. The Father calls out, Gabriel, Lord, I'm here. I want you, Gabriel, to head down to earth. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. Because I have an assignment for you. Father, what would you have me to do? He said, Gabriel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is about to walk out of that tomb. Satan thought he locked him down. Pilate thought the stone was too heavy for him to move. The seal had too much authority to be broken. The soldiers had too much power to run people away. But Gabriel, I want you to head down to earth. Go down to Jerusalem. Go down to Joseph's tomb. What would you have me to do, Master? He said, I want you to be a valet. I want you to be a doorkeeper. Because kings don't open their own doors. I want you to get down there and remove the stone so that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can walk out of that tomb and hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave and tell Satan, how you like me now? And so Gabriel shoots out of heaven. He rushes through the Milky Way. And as he enters the exosphere, he picks up a tailwind that propels him through the therosphere and the mesosphere. And as he is beginning to enter Earth's atmosphere, at the sound, at the speed faster than the speed of light, Gabriel shoots through the ionosphere and opens his second pair of wings, because you know seraphims have six sets of wings, with two that cover their eyes, with two that cover their feet, and with two that fly and say holy. So
Gabriel is rushing out, but the velocity that he is bringing with him as he enters the ionosphere needs two wings to hold back the speed. So he opens his second set of wings, and as he begins to enter the tropic sphere, there is such a velocity and force that it begins to shake the earth. The Bible says that soldiers fall to the right and soldiers slam on their face to the left. Gabriel gets down there and removes the stone, and when he does it, Jesus has got up, folded the grave clothes, laid it neatly, and he's walking out. Now let me tell you why he folded the clothes. Let me tell you why he didn't rush out. See, Jesus was a Jew, at least for 33 years. And in the Jewish custom, when you invite somebody to dinner, you give them a hand towel. At laundry, as they eat, they would wipe their hand and wipe their mouth with the hand towel. When they are completed eating, they will just crumble the towel and throw it under the table. But if they are not finished, if they are leaving to walk out and come back in to dinner, they will fold the hand towel and lay it next to their plate to let the host know that I'm not finished yet. I wish somebody would help me see this. See, the Bible said when Jesus got up, he took that towel and folded it and laid it down. He was saying to hell, to damnation, to the devil, I'm not done yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm getting up right now, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, Weegar will get up, and Landry will get up, and those at 45, 55, Fairfields will get up. So don't touch that towel. Don't crumble that towel, because I'm not finished with you yet. Is there two people in here who's excited about the fact that even though he got up from the grave, he's not done yet? John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, wait a minute. I'm not sending Gabriel. I'm not sending any angel. I'm not sending any messenger. I'll come again myself to receive you to myself. Is there two people in here who can't wait to see Jesus come get them? Somebody shout, he's coming back. He got up. I say he got up. He got up out of the grave. He didn't rush out. Matter of fact, he hung around until Mary showed up, out of whom he cast seven devils. And then the other Mary showed up, and he told them, go tell my brothers that I got up. Go tell them I didn't sneak out. Go tell them I didn't run out, but I walked out. Songwriter puts it like this: up from the grave he arose with a mighty power over his foes. He arose with victory over death's domain, and he lives forever. Let his sins proclaim, heroes, heroes, hallelujah.
Christ arose. I stopped by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the manifested word is because of the spoken word. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what's bothering you. I don't know what rock and a hard place you're stuck between. I don't know what seal has been placed on you. I don't know what soldiers are standing guard around your destiny and around your life and around your health and around your peace and around your tranquility. But I stopped by this afternoon to let you know that because Jesus got up, no stone can keep you down. Because Jesus got up, no seal can seal you up. Because Jesus got up, no fear can keep you from reaching your destiny. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Is there two people in here who can say, I ain't scared, because he got up. And because he got up, I'll get up one day. I stopped by to tell somebody that Rome cannot revenge against him. The cross cannot crush him. I stopped by to tell somebody that death cannot destroy him. I stopped by to tell somebody that the grave cannot ground him. I stopped by to tell somebody that hell cannot hold him and the devil cannot defeat him, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him King of Kings. Is there two people in here who want to get upon their feet and just help me say, crown him, King of Kings, crown him Lord of Lords. Crown him the peacekeeper. Crown him the deliverance specialist. Crown him the great healer. Crown him the supplier. Crown him the provider. Whatever I need, God can do it. Say it. The devil's greatest fear is the manifestation of the word. That's why you need to spend time in the word. Because the devil knows the word that God has spoken on your life, and he's threatened by it. That's why he's starting confusion in your life. His goal is to distract you. The devil knows the word that God has spoken on your life. The devil knows the word that God has spoken on this church. The devil knows the word that God has spoken in the life of your children, in the life of your grandchildren, in the life of your spouse, in the life of your nieces and nephew, in the life of your family. The devil knows the power of the word. And he wants to keep you discombobulated. He wants to keep you distracted from the word. But I stop by to tell you, God will never say anything he doesn't mean. And everything that God says, he means. And every word that God speaks is yes and amen. Now I just want to ask two people a crazy question today. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he come back? Won't he heal us? Won't he restore us? Won't he put broken lives back together? Won't he mend the hurt? Won't he provide for you? If you believe that, say yes, he will.